The following copyrighted program is presented by PodcastNorm.com. Hi, everybody. My name is Russ, and I'd like to welcome you to the show we call Just a Fan's View, the show that talks about NASCAR from just a NASCAR fan's point of view. We won't be doing any interviews with drivers, and we won't be talking to any crew chiefs. In fact, when we do interview anyone, it will be just another NASCAR fan. That's why we call it Just a Fan's View. So hold on to your cup holder. We're not afraid to express our opinion. In fact, it is what we do best. Today's show is
Aaron's 499 at Talladega from a NASCAR Fan's View. Well, it's that time again. It's time for the Aaron's 499 at the Talladega Speedway in Alabama. There's nothing like spending a Sunday afternoon watching stock cars race on what is known as the world's fastest track. Well, at least as far as stock cars are concerned. I've said it many times before, and if you're familiar with previous year's articles, I love restrictor plate racing. I do have to admit that over the last few years, it hasn't seemed to be as exciting as it once was, and there are several reasons for that, at least from this fan's view. Before I say another word, I do want to say this. I don't miss the two-car tandem racing at all. One of the reasons, and probably the most evident to us all, is that somewhere along the way, the drivers fall in line and just start clicking off laps until they get closer to the end of the race. I don't really have a problem with that. But it is, or at least can be, somewhat boring during those times. It seems a little funny to this fan that even though that might be some of the time during the race that has the least amount of action, it also seems to be when they run the fewest commercials during a broadcast. Sure, I know I could be wrong about that, and it just may seem that way to me, but it even makes that part of the race seem a bit longer. Another reason that it doesn't seem to be as exciting as it once was, at least to this fan, is that they really haven't decided how they want to strategize for being around at the end of the race. I know there are those that will argue with me, and that's okay, but I have to say the strategies, although varied, are very diverse, and things don't really get interesting until about the last 50 miles or so. Now, I know there are those of you that are going to say, no, you're wrong, Rusty. It's the last 100 miles that are the most interesting, and then there are those that will only want to watch the last 10 laps. Why, I've even had some friends that told me they set the DVR so they can go back and watch something that might have happened that they might have missed, but they really don't start watching the race until the last 15 to 20 laps or so. From this fan's view, I think one of the biggest reasons that people like restrictor plate racing is the closeness of the racing, and of course the possibility of having the big one at some time during the 499 miles. As a kid at the races at our local tracks in southern Illinois, that seemed to be the thing we liked the most. My friends and I really didn't talk too much about the races that didn't have wrecks in them. In fact, we went to see the wrecks and were totally disappointed when they didn't happen. After I became a car owner and driver a little later in life, it wasn't about the wrecks anymore. It was more about the racing. Some of my fondest memories are still when we ran lap after lap, nose to tail and door handle to door handle, in the group because no one could pass anyone. The lineup for those races just happened to be in such a way that we were all fairly well matched and no one could get an advantage. That may be why I miss what some would call the old days in restrictor plate racing. That was when they ran two and three wide and many rows deep for much of the race. For some, that's exactly why they didn't like restrictor plate racing, because it seemed no one could break away from the rest. For others, they were on the edge of their seats because they were running two and three wide, nose to tail, and expecting the big one to happen at any moment. I have to admit, as a fan, that I also enjoyed that type of racing, and as long as nobody got hurt, I kind of looked forward to the big one happening as long as it didn't take out the guy that I was rooting for. This weekend was the first time that the field qualified under the new qualifying format, and the strategies were definitely different. When it came down to the last 5-minute qualifying session, nobody wanted to be the first one out simply because there was no way that the first car was going to run faster than all the rest simply because of the draft. Personally, and I may be the only one that feels this way, it does give an advantage to some and presents a disadvantage to others, and I found the entire last session to be a bit boring. This is where I once again remind everyone that qualifying really doesn't matter when it comes to restrictor plate racing. In fact, if they lined up according to points instead of qualifying at Talladega, it wouldn't matter when it comes down to race day. Even though it doesn't matter that much where any of them qualify, from this fan's view, any one of them could end up in victory lane, and that includes any one of the rookies. Even though I know it sounds like I'm really not looking forward to this race, that conception is completely wrong. I am looking forward to it, and can't wait until the green flag drops. I expect we will see any number of strategies play out, but I do think that this weekend might be a weekend where the tires won't be a problem, at least as much as they have been recently. I'm not even sure track position is going to play that big a part in the Aaron's 499 on this Sunday afternoon. I believe when it comes right down to it, it's all going to depend on when the last yellow flag falls and whether or not the big one has happened before the final laps are run. Hey, this is Russ, and I'll see you next time right here at NASCAR Fans View for just a fan's view of NASCAR racing. That's the show for today, and we're really glad you took the time to be with us. It is our hope you enjoyed this time and that you will tell a friend where to find us. Just a Fan's View is a production of, and all views expressed are strictly the opinion of, PCN Productions. Thanks for being here, and until next time, have a great week. Hi, everyone. My name is Rusty Norman, probably better known to you as Podcast Norm. I'm the voice behind Podcast Norm Audio Productions, and I'd like to take a moment to tell you about the music I use in my podcasts and other productions. It's from Mike Stewart, and it's called Two Buck Themes. We all know music makes every production better, and not only is Two Buck Themes royalty-free, but it is very affordable. How much is it, did you say? Just $2 a theme, 5 themes at a time. And I use it exclusively on these podcasts. If you make audio and video productions and want to make them better, then give Two Buck Themes a try. I know you won't be disappointed. Once you hear and use them for yourself, I'm sure you will feel the same way I do about them. So click on the link below and get Two Buck Themes for yourself. Hey, this is Russ, and I'll see you next time.